from the beginning of creation, God's will was for mankind to live in wholeness, spirit, soul, and body. His will for you hasn't changed. In fact, the Bible is full of promises for you to be healed. Get the Healing Promise Package and receive the audio teaching by Kenneth Copeland, Healing, It Is Always God's Will, as well as the Healing Promises book by Kenneth and Gloria Copeland, and the Psalm 103 card to help you declare God's word wherever you go. Understand that healing is a promise coming from the very life force of God. When Jesus defeated the curse and was raised with resurrection life, He made a way for that life force to flow from the Father to you. At the same time He paid for your salvation, He paid for your physical healing. Gain victory over every struggle and live in divine health. Feed yourself on the healing promises of God and be transformed and renewed, spirit, soul, and body. God wants you well, and it's His will for you to be healed. Get your free copy of the Healing Promise Package and take hold of God's plan for your healing. Use these free study resources to build your faith and receive your healing and wholeness today. Go to kcm.org/TV special or call 800-600-7395. Offer good for 60 days. If you're outside the U.S., shipping charges may apply.
Welcome to the Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast. I'm Pastor George Pearsons, my wife, Pastor Terry Copeland Pearsons, and we are here ready to preach about the healing power of God.
I want to thank my dad, Brother Copeland, for allowing us to be on this broadcast and to follow up with all the years that you did with Sister Gloria and how amazing that was. So what an opportunity to step in right behind them and minister the Word of God for healing for you. This is your day to receive.
That's
this
right.
is the day
That's
when
right.
things start to change for you. Glory to God.
The turnaround begins. And I wanted to remind you that all of the notes that we're working from are available to you on this series, 10 Days of Healing. This intensive study, a very foundational study that will help you get started on the path to perfect health and to walk in that place where God is manifesting Himself in your body, kcm.org/notes. And you can print these, you can download them, you can give them, you can sow them. And also, we want to remind you, let us know how these broadcasts are affecting you. What's happening? Are you receiving your healing?
What? Yeah, I want to know what they think.
Yeah.
And how they, you know, what, is there something else you would like to know more? Just some feedback. You know, we endeavor to be led by the Holy Spirit, but it's good to have feedback, and we'd appreciate hearing from you. I think we should jump back in where we were yesterday and maybe go back over it a little bit. It's so important.
Okay.
And I felt like there were some things we didn't fully
God's
get
prescription
saved.
For good health. Let's do it. Let's
All right.
do it.
Proverbs.
Okay. You want me to read?
You go ahead.
Got it. Proverbs 4:20-22. My son, attend to my words. Incline your ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. Why? For they are life to those that find them and health and medicine to all of their flesh.
So we talked yesterday about how the Hebrew word that's translated health in the English could also be translated to be medicine, cure, or remedy. So God's word is medicine to our flesh. Taking God's word, how do we take it? Well, He says how to do it. He said, my son, attend to my words. That means you've got to give your attention to it. There's something you have to do. Attend to my words. How do we do that? Incline your ear. Mark chapter 4, I want to look at that. In Mark 4:23 from the Amplified Classic Version says, if any man has ears to hear, let him hear or let him be listening, let him perceive and comprehend. So I just want to go back over this a little bit, George. Right there in that Proverbs 4, we see, he said, don't keep it in your ears, keep it in your eyes, keep it in the midst of your heart.
Right.
And then we looked also at Joshua 1:8 that says, don't let this book of the law depart out of your mouth. Meditate on it day and night. Then you'll have good success. So we have those components, your ears, your eyes, your heart, your thoughts, and then in your mouth. Mm-hmm. But I just let those that have ears to hear, let them hear. Well, I like what Dad would say about that. You know, he says, everybody has these paddles out there on the side of their head. Yeah. Everybody has paddles on the outside of their head. So what does that mean to us? He that has ears to hear, incline your ears. It means be inclined to believe that. Be inclined to listen to it. Be inclined to do that. Be inclined to be listening. It's funny in Scripture, listening and watching go together. In Habakkuk 2, he said, I will station myself on my post of observation to watch to see what he will say within me. So you're watching in order to hear words. You're hearing. There's this listening intently, listening for what the Lord might be saying, listening inside, looking down on the inside. Incline your ear. He said, let him hear. Or guide your hearing. Set yourself to hear. Expect to hear. Expect an answer. Expect insight. Straining to hear that voice of the Good Shepherd. Jesus said, my sheep know my voice. Well, I'm his sheep. Well, I can expect to hear his voice then. And he says, give yourself to it. Pastor, you know, I like to tell this story. It's funny, we've seen so much technology change in our lives. Mm-hmm. When I was really young and Dad first started preaching, he put his messages out on reel-to-reels. These reel-to-reels, they were about this big, and it had a reel-to-reel recorder, which had been, before my time, they were really big. So I had one like this, and I kept it by my bed. And I would play Dad's preaching messages at night as a kid, you know, in sixth grade, something like that, seventh grade. Mm-hmm. And I would listen to those messages. But then, as I went on into junior high and high school, it went from reel to reels to cassettes. Yeah. Oh, wow, we were impressed with a cassette tape. Mm-hmm. I came across one just this morning here in the studio from 1998. My goodness. So the cassette tape, but what did that give us? And then, of course, on to CDs. Now we have MP3s, which we are offering this week for free.
Right.
Links, downloads, internet, YouTube. We have television, multiple channels. And what can we do? We can keep the word going as much as we will incline to it.
Yep.
And in our house, we're inclined to it quite a bit.
We do it.
We've got it going in the morning. We've got it going during the day. I endeavor to discipline myself. My drive home from work is 12 minutes. But even in that 12 minutes, it's easy to pop it on.
Right, right.
And you do that. You've got things going all the time.
I listen to it all the time. We do that at night. When we go to sleep, we've got the Word of God going, hearing it, and keeping it in the atmosphere.
It makes a difference.
It does make the difference. And we have to do that. And that's what happened with Kenneth and Gloria in those early days.
Right.
I remember him talking about this at Vanetta's, your grandmother's house, his mother's house. And he says, Mother, have you got something I can listen to? And she pulled out a tape.
A reel-to-reel
tape of Kenneth Hagin. You can have what you say.
Mm-hmm.
And what was the other?
Write
your own ticket with God. And he ended up under the coffee table.
Just knocked him out of his chair, the magnitude of it, how it hit him.
Had never heard anything like that before. So that's where faith comes from, is by hearing the word of God.
And an investment of time. But there's another part here in Mark chapter 4, verse 24. He said to them, be careful what you're hearing.
Yeah.
Be careful what you're inclining you're into. Yeah. Are you listening to the words, the thoughts, the ways of the world? And you pick up a lot more of it than you think. And the things of the world, all of them, everything in the world, even things that aren't so much sin, they are still drains. They will drain your spiritual life, just carnal, natural things. If you don't overpower that with a much higher volume and intensity of intention to listen to, he that has ears to hear, let him be careful what he hears. But then in Luke 8:18, it says, be careful how you hear. Mm. How are you hearing?
Yeah.
So that doesn't mean necessarily the device you're using. But how? What are you looking for? Are you listening to it like this?
Yeah.
Are you looking for a way for it to not be true? Are you looking for a way for to hear something that doesn't require anything of you?
Right.
Are you listening to it with somebody else in mind? Are you listening to for yourself? What? How are you hearing? Mm. How are you? What's the motive of your heart? How open are you to hear what God has to say to you? How open are you to let Him speak something to you that will correct how your behavior is?
Yep.
So this having ears to hear, let Him hear. Be careful what you hear. Be careful how you hear, and give your attention, your time, and your force. The measure, He goes on to say, the measure you give to it is the measure you'll get out of it.
Incline your ears, it says, unto my sayings. And that word incline, it's a lean in.
Mm.
Like you're inclining to listen very carefully to what is being said at the moment.
That's good.
So that's one of the things that we do. Another part of God's prescription for good health is let them not depart from your eyes. Keep them before you. Have your eyes trained on the Word of God. And my Bible kind of looks like Brother Copeland's, not exactly, but with his, everything seems to be
highlighted.
And the well-wornedness of a Bible really shows that somebody is digging into it, is learning from it, and it's alive. It's speaking to us. And we look to the Word. We don't look at the circumstances. We don't look at the things that are coming against us, but we look to the Word in everything that we are dealing with. It says in 2 Corinthians 5:7, we walk by faith and not by sight. So we have faith sight. We keep the Word of healing before us all the time. And
so there's a natural aspect to that of actually looking at it, reading it, letting it go into your eyes. But there's also that spiritual and mental looking. What's most important? What speaks to you the most? Are you looking at the circumstances? Are you looking to the circumstances more than you're looking to the Word? Are you moved by what you see? What moves you? Will you put your eyes and determine the Word is what's going to move me, not my circumstances?
Yeah, I was thinking about the scripture. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, in verse 6, it says, and these words which I command thee this day shall be in your heart, and you shall teach them diligently unto your children. You shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, when you rise up, and you shall bind them for a sign upon your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes, focusing on the Word. And you shall write them upon the posts of your house and on your gates.
The Lord was literally helping them. And they do it. I just love Jewish people. I mean, he said, do that. They do that.
They do it.
It's actually written on their doorposts.
Yeah.
They put a box right in the middle of their heads
with the word of God in it.
And then they put it on their arms and they wrap their arms with a leather strap. Why?
Yeah.
Because they're stopping to think about it, that this is the Word. The Word is dictating what I think. Makes me want to cry. The Word is dictating my thoughts.
Yeah.
And I'm going to think about it. I'm going to pray about it. And the Word, I'm bound to this Word. I bind myself to it. And that daily object lesson that they have with the Scripture, and they wrap themselves, because that's what God said to do.
Wrap yourself.
They literally do it.
Yeah.
Wonder what would happen if we did more of that, to be more, take the Word more literally in some things like that.
Absolutely.
To impress our thinking.
Yeah, in the hotels that we stay at in Israel, on the side of the door.
Right.
There it is.
That's the
mezuzah.
That's right. And it has the great commandment. Hear ye, O Israel, the Lord thy God is one.
And you'll see Jews touch that before they go into
a
room.
And they accept it. They agree with that. The Lord thy God, He is God. Ooh, that makes me want to run around a table.
keep it before your eyes. Keep the word of healing before your eyes. Look at it. Keep it alive on the inside. And that word will work on the inside of you. I like what Brother Keith Moore said one time. If you can see it, you can have it.
So you have to put things in your physical eyes before they can get down into your spiritual eyes. But the spiritual eyes are the ones we're after. But you can't do it without... He said, but what about blind people? What blind people see, they might not see with these physical organs, but they see. They see on the inside. It's the image. What are you seeing?
Yeah.
Do you see yourself well? Ask yourself, really, when you see yourself, how do you see yourself? Do you see yourself with the scabs? Do you see yourself free from disease? Do you see yourself strong? Do you see yourself full of joy? Do you see yourself with enough? Do you see yourself with prosperity? Do you see yourself as right before God? Do you see yourself walking in love? Do you see yourself? Do you see yourself as a victor or a victim?
Mm.
Ask yourself. Stop and think about that. And whatever you see of yourself that's not in line with God's word, you're going to have to go to the word. And then there is a daily maintenance to that, because everything in the world, there's something you will see every day that will try to tell you something counter to what God has said about you.
Yeah.
But you need to see you as He sees you. See yourself in Jesus. See yourself that you see yourself as free from sickness as Jesus Himself was when He was on the earth and is now.
Yep. That's
Amen.
Exactly. That's exactly what Abraham did.
That's right.
He said, it is by faith that it might be by grace, the promise might be sure to the seed, not to that only which is of the law, but to that which is of the faith of Abraham.
The faith of Abraham.
As it is written, I've made you the father of many nations. Before him whom he believed, even God, who quickens the dead and calls those things which be not as though they were, who against hope believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, and not being weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He didn't look at that.
Didn't look at the circumstances.
Wasn't looking at the circumstances.
Didn't look at his body. He didn't, but he called himself the father of many nations.
Yeah,
his name. Because he saw himself the father of many nations, even though there was absolutely no way for
that. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but he was strong in faith, giving glory to God and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able to perform. He was fully persuaded. He had seen it. He could see it with his eyes. You see the word of God of healing working in you right now. Whatever it is and whatever is going on, when you attend to his words, when you keep them in your ears and keep them before your eyes, it is going to do something on the inside of you. It's going to change the way you see yourself. It will adjust your thinking, your words, and your attitude to the word of God and what it says about you instead of what the symptoms and the circumstances to say about you.
Now, all of that, putting it in your eyes, keeping it in your ears, you know, if you don't have that as a lifestyle, it's something you have to, you start working towards it.
Yeah.
You start working towards that lifestyle of that. And it's not something that you never have to continue to work at, because the way of the world, the busyness of life, even the busyness of ministry and your children and your life, it puts demands on you.
Yeah.
And God knows that. We know that. But it can carry you away.
Yeah.
And you have to go against the stream of the world to press into. That woman with the issue of blood, it says she came through the press behind. She pressed her way into it.
Yeah.
When everything and the circumstances fought against her, she pressed, if I can but touch the hem of his garment, I shall be whole. Now with that word gets in your heart with your eyes and your ears, your eyes and your ears, your eyes and your ears. What are you doing? All of that is making a deposit in your heart. Now in Proverbs, also it says there in Proverbs 4, guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it flow the issues or the flows, the wellsprings of life.
Yes.
So you're guarding your heart from what goes in by what you see and what you hear. You're putting it in your heart until there is an abundance. And then Jesus said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So you're speaking. We said this yesterday, I believe, Pastor, wasn't it?
Yeah.
That you're speaking. We're saying, we say it to each other.
Yeah.
We're saying it to each other.
Yeah.
And it's not just the scripture that we quote, but it's the manner of our talking.
Mm-hmm.
It's the mm-hmm. the words that we choose to speak life. We don't go around going, well, that scares me to death. Boy, right. I feel right. bad today. Oh, right. my God, I'm in such pain.
Mm-mm.
You know?
no.
If those are the kind of words you speak and you're inclined to, then that's what's going to be in your heart. So we're speaking words so that we're hearing it with our own ear.
Yeah.
We're hearing it with the outer ear. We're hearing it with the inner ear. It's going into our heart. But then when our heart gets full, then it fills our mouth.
Yeah.
What was it that the Lord told me all those years ago? He said, if you will put the word in your mouth when you don't need it, then it will go into your heart. Then your heart will fill your mouth when
and
you do.
You do need it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
If you'll let your mouth put the word in your heart when you don't need it, then your heart will put it in your mouth when you do.
Yeah.
Here you go. That's it.
That's it.
That's it.
That's it.
When you let your mouth put the word in your heart when you don't need it, then your heart will put the word in your mouth when you do.
And that was the culture of our household. I was just thinking about Jeremy.
Our kids. Yeah.
Talking about he thought he grew up in
the household of faith.
And that's what would happen whenever he would get sick or something, instead of laying around, we would go get the Bible, the Charles Capps
mini book, and the Confessions of Faith.
And then Willie George and Gospel Bill.
We fed those kids with that. And he said he was talking to a friend he has at school, and the kid said, I was out sick. And he said, he said, when I'm sick, I get ice cream, get to do everything I want to do and lay in bed. Jeremy said, it doesn't look like that in my house when we're sick. If we're sick, it's not. Man, the first thing we did in the middle of the night, if our kids got sick, first thing we did, we grabbed our confessions, say it. We spoke the word over it. We walked the floor with it. Then we put them in the bed between us when they were small. We would be, we'd just
speak
by faith, pray in tongues, keep the healing scriptures going in our cassette.
Yep.
And then when they were awake, they had their confessions. We kept it in our mouth.
Yes.
And makes me want to cry. I've had one to cry several times today. But we'd say to the kids, what does the word say? What does the word say? And if they didn't know, we helped them find it.
Yeah.
But make them say it. We said it. And it's easy to get lazy about that. You can't check a box and say, well, I did that and I don't ever have to do that again. No, it was our life. Look at these scriptures, George. Yeah. Read through those.
Yeah, Joshua 1:8.
Our mouth.
Joshua 1:8. Don't let the word depart out of your mouth. Keep it in there. Keep it going. Keep speaking it. Matthew 12:34, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So whatever's down on the inside is going to come out. So put the word down there. Proverbs 18:21, life and death are in the power of the tongue.
You know, a lot of people misquote that and they say the power of life and death is in the tongue. Well, there's an element of truth to that, but what it says is that life and death sit in the power of the tongue. James tells us how powerful the tongue is, that it sets things on fire, that it's like the little bitty rudder on a big ship, and it decides where the ship is going. That the power of the tongue, which in itself is a week of teaching.
Right. Psalm 34:13, keep your tongue from speaking evil. Keep your tongue from speaking evil about yourself and your body. And, my foot's never going to get healed. I've had that for years. That'll never happen. No, that's not what we say. What we say is, I am healed by the stripes of Jesus.
Yeah.
I take authority over that foot right now. Foot, you line up with the word and you do what you're supposed to do.
Like you said the other day, foot, give praise to the Lord.
That's right. That's right. That's exactly right. So continually attending to the word with your eyes, your ears, and your heart will cause you to live in divine health.
It's hard for you to get sick. It will be as hard for you to get sick as it was once difficult for you to be healed, The word will make life and health in your body, and there's no limit to the amount of
God's medicine that you can take.
So the prescription, attend to God's word.
Yep.
Incline your ears to God's word. Incline your eyes. Don't let them depart from your eyes. Keep God's word in the center of your heart. Write it on a three by five card. Carry it. Keep it on your home screen, on your phone. Whatever it takes for you. And ask the Lord to help you keep the word in the center of your heart, and it will be life and health to your flesh.
And if you've never invited Jesus to come into your heart, now is the time. Now is the time to make that declaration of faith before Him, to receive Him. So, Terry, would you lead us in that right now?
Oh, this is the most wonderful prayer
there ever is.
In all your life. And it's so simple, just to acknowledge and say this before God. Say it. My God in heaven.
My God in heaven.
I do believe. That Jesus is the Son of God.
That Jesus is the Son of God.
Sent on my behalf.
To take my place.
On that cross. Bearing my sin. Go to hell in my place. But you raised him from the dead. Seated him at your own right hand. And now he's the Lord of the universe. I make him my Lord.
Jesus.
Be my Lord.
Be my Savior.
Be my healer.
Baptize me in the Holy Spirit.
Thank you for being my helper.
My friend.
My counselor.
I love you, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Praise God.
We have something we want to give you. This little book, He Did It All for you, and the information right there on your screen will get you started in your walk with the Lord.
So, until tomorrow, remember this: God loves you,
we love you,
and Jesus is Lord.
Thank you for joining us on the Believer's Voice of Victory. If you receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior, Kenneth and Gloria Copeland have a gift for you. It is called the Salvation Package. Learn about the new birth and how you can live your new life victoriously in Christ. Receive your free package on kcm.org/salvation. Keep your heart full of God's Word and continue to grow in faith. Every believer has a voice, and it is the voice of victory.
We walk by faith when times are good. We walk by faith when times are terrible. No person that lives by faith has to change his or her lifestyle because of the times.
You will bring honor to God when you increase in your fruitfulness. God has so much more in store for you than what you've already experienced.
Join us for the Branson Victory Campaign with Kenneth Copeland and Jerry Saville, April 4th through the 6th. Register at kcm.org/Branson today.